The Scout. Dan could not remember a time when he did not have a soccer ball. One of his first memories revolved around a ball he had received as a present for his 4th birthday. His mom had forbidden him from kicking it in the house, and her scolding only made him more eager to do it. He waited until his mother was asleep and started kicking the ball around his room. He kicked it hard into the walls, thinking in his small mind that his parents would sleep through any sound. His mother came into his room and saw that he had left a small hole in one of the walls. She was furious. But his father laughed and said that he was proud he would be a strong player. Not much had really changed since then, his mom always telling him to put his studies first, or threatening not to let him play if he didn't complete his homework or get good grades. His father was always so much easier on him. Dan never liked his schoolwork very much. He really hated his courses in physics and algebra that year, and he couldn't stand writing long essays. He did like to read and had a good understanding of what he read. He just wished he could deliver his essays as a speech instead. He had always been a smooth talker. The girls in his school always said he was smooth, or they said he was a player, but meant with girls as well with sport. He had never had a problem asking girls to go out with him. He was naturally confident because he was in great shape, and new people at the school admired his abilities. Yet, somehow, near the end of this senior year, doubts had begun to creep into Dan's mind. It was probably normal, because everyone is feeling uncertain about the future, he thought. So he tried to push serious thoughts out of his mind. What good was it to have these thoughts anyway? He knew that he would get some scholarship offers from different colleges. He didn't want to go straight into more studying. He wanted to finally be free from homework, but he knew it was probably much smarter to go straight to another institution without taking a break. He was in peak form and did not want to lose any of his training and need to make up for lost ground. The problem was really knowing which school to play for. The team he had grown up watching was North Carolina's team, mostly because it was his father's alma mater, and he was crazy about their technique. Or at least he said it was about the team's technique. But really, it seemed to Dan, his father just felt very loyal to his old university and to his home state. Dan had not always lived in North Carolina. They had moved when he was about 15 from Colorado. He had loved his childhood there and still often dreamed of going back. While Dan was thinking about his upcoming decisions, his lab partner, Molly, caught his eye. "Are you at all interested in looking through the microscope?" she asked. "Not really," Dan replied. "Are you thinking about the game tomorrow? I don't really understand the obsession around here with soccer. Why do you like it so much? Do you think if you weren't so good at it, that you would still find it so fascinating?" Dan was jarred by the abrupt questions, but Molly interested him. She had light gray eyes that were difficult not to stare at, though she was otherwise only modestly attractive. He thought about it for her. It is a simple game, and he could understand why some people might not understand wanting to have the physical challenge and endurance the sport required. He also knew that most people didn't think it was a sport with a lot of strategy. He loved to test his strength and execute a play. But most of all, Dan just loved to take the ball and to feel like he owned it. He felt an attachment to this object because it had been such a constant part of his life. Though he thought of the answer in some depth, he answered, I can't really imagine not being good at it, in his charming way. Molly looked down into the microscope, and Dan felt confused. He seemed to have annoyed her. The night was cold for a March game, but the crowds were still out in the stands. It was a truly soccer-obsessed town, and he knew all eyes would be on him. It had rained, and all the players had gotten incredibly muddy from pregame practice. Yet, he knew it would feel the same as other games. He would run as hard as he could, keep his eyes on the ball, and get lost in the flow of play. He would see the yellow flag come out occasionally, and the other guys throw themselves on the ground when they wanted the penalty to be in their favor. He felt for a moment a sense that he was forever playing the same game, and everyone would have this same response. People would jump to their feet and applaud. They would feel triumph when he did well, and they would chant to make him remember to keep his energy up and be optimistic. "Dan, are you with us?" his father was asking as the players huddled together before running out to the field. "Yes, of course," he replied. Yet something about the day was starting to feel a bit strange. He realized it had bothered him that Molly had not laughed at his joke. It was bothering him, too, that he could not seem to make up his mind about schools. He knew he just needed to take a wait-and-see approach, but it was hard for him not to feel in control of everything. At least he knew tonight the ball would be in his possession often, and that he could get it to go into the goal when it came time. He wished that the rest of his life were as easy as football. He was not sure what the goal was, or if he was playing well when he wasn't with his team in the action of the game. The team ran onto the field, and the crowd was wild. Dan played hard, and in the first 20 minutes had stolen the ball many times and never stopped running. Neither team had yet scored. The goalkeepers on both sides were great at stopping the shots with their bodies. They weren't afraid to dive in the mud if the ball was coming toward the net. Dan hated the mud, and it was smeared and splattered all over him. He thought he felt angry at the mud, and it drove him to play even harder. When he faced an opponent who was particularly skilled with his footwork, he tried relentlessly to steal the ball. He tried to focus and kicked hard, but accidentally hit something that was not the ball. He heard a groan and then a whistle. He saw the other player fall to the ground. He didn't suspect he could have anything wrong with him, but was shocked to see that he wasn't being dramatic just for the penalty play. He was seriously injured and could not stand up. How had this happened? Dan was in denial. The other players looked surprised and upset with him, as if he had done it on purpose. Had he? Suddenly, Dan felt very sick, and he ran back to his coach to ask to be taken out of the game for a while. "Don't worry," his father said. "Everyone knows you didn't do that on purpose, and you know he'll be all right. The team needs you now. We're dead even." So Dan continued to play, and he tried to ignore his emotions by pushing his body hard. When he was out of breath, walking between plays, he looked up in the stands to see his mother. She didn't particularly love soccer, but she was always there, too. He wished that he could talk with her, because she would tell him what he had done wrong and tell him what he should do to fix it. Yet he knew he could not forever rely on his mother to make his decisions for him. He felt unmanly and told himself to toughen up. These people came to see a goal, and he needed to deliver. After an hour and 15 minutes, the match was still a stalemate. He felt like he was in some nightmare, where he was running as fast as he could, but getting nowhere. Then, with only 10 minutes left in the game, he felt a surge of energy. He ran at the ball, and, to his delight, he was able to pry it out from his opponent. He saw a teammate he could pass to and made a split decision to give him the ball. The teammate made his way forward fast, took the pass, and was driving the ball toward the center. Dan saw the ball go up in the air suddenly and calculated instantly the angle and force that would be needed to redirect the ball into the goal. He felt the hard ball on his forehead and watched the net intently. Score! The ball went straight past the goalkeeper, and everyone was on their feet. He'd done it! He was swiftly picked up and put on someone's shoulders. He raised both arms over his head, but he still felt empty somehow. What was wrong with him? Later that night, his father told him the exciting news. There would be a talent scout at the next game to watch him play from the sidelines. This could be his ticket to a full scholarship at North Carolina State University. His father couldn't disguise his pride in his son and his excitement over the idea that he might soon be playing for one of his favorite teams. He punched him on the shoulder and told him to hit the showers. He called him his champ, as he always did, even when the team lost. When his father called him a champion tonight, Dan knew he really meant it. It made him sad. He felt tonight he didn't deserve it. His dad saw all his hard work as a coach paying off when he watched Dan's performance. Soon, it would even pay for more school and even more opportunities for his future. Dan went to clean off the mud with a sinking feeling. He did not know how long he could avoid making his choice anymore. The next day in school, Molly looked at Dan with a confused look. "Are you okay today?" she asked. "You seem thoughtful. It's weird." It was the first thing that made Dan laugh for some days. "That's so sweet of you," he flirted back. Molly tried to go about the assignment, as usual, but felt that Dan was not doing well. He was such a jock. Did he really have emotional depth? After knowing him a year, it seemed unlikely. "Seriously, what's up with you?" she asked. "I've just been thinking too much lately. I got angry at myself last night and accidentally hurt another player. I have a scout coming to watch me, and my dad is intent that I do my best for him so I get a scholarship to stay in state." Dan found all the words spilling out, almost against his will. "I see," Molly continued. "And what do you want?" she asked. Dan had an epiphany. "That's it," he said. "I want someone to ask me what I want." Dan looked up at the ceiling and relaxed into his chair. Molly looked at him with sympathy. "I think I'd also really like to hang out with you before we graduate. I should have asked a long time ago, but I like spending time with you," he added, feeling some of his usual boldness come back. Molly hesitated, but agreed. Maybe there was more going on in him than she had thought. When Dan saw Molly in the stands later in the week, he felt his confidence soar. He had put his concerns out of his mind, as usual, but he had a plan. He would play his best, as always, and show Molly that soccer was a worthy obsession first. He knew she would focus on it the way she focused so intensely on her schoolwork. He would score for his team, and for his father too, and when an offer was made, he would talk honestly about what he thought he wanted. What he most wanted was time and support for whatever school he decided to choose when he knew all his options at the end of the season. He was glad the weather had kept warm that day. He could feel that summer was coming, and a lot of change would be coming with it. He felt it was bittersweet, as he might have to leave many things behind. The game was neck and neck for most of the first half. He stayed up with the action and was running and kicking with all his energy. He was holding nothing back tonight. About 45 minutes into the game, his team earned a penalty kick, and knowing the scout was in the audience, the team gave it to him to play. His father counseled him. "This is it, son. Don't let the pressure get to you. Just do what you always do." Dan tried to keep calm and imagine the ball hitting the back of the goal. Everything else went out of his mind. The audience was a blur, and all his problems fell away as he felt the inner sole of his shoe smash into the ball. He knew by the way he felt the ball that it would be a straight shot. He looked up to see if the goalkeeper could bat it away in time. Before he saw it hit the net, he heard the audience screaming. Everyone was ecstatic. Goal! He had had one of the best games he had ever played. They had won 3-2. Dan knew what was coming, so he took his father aside. "Dad, I'm really glad if you are proud of me. I'm not sure what is in my future. I know you might be disappointed, but I don't want to make a deal tonight. I want to wait and see what all my options are before committing. Would that be okay?" Dan's father looked surprised, but then thoughtful. "I think that sounds very intelligent and mature. I am sorry if I was too caught up to ask you about what you wanted for yourself. I didn't mean to be overbearing. We'll tell the scout that we will keep his offer in mind, yeah?" his father asked. Dan felt light as air. "Thanks, Dad," he said.